Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host. I am sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's Thursday, and that means I get to hang out with really cool people. And I just realized my camera is off to the side a little bit, so it looks like I'm just kind of staring off in the distance. Hold on, let's fix that. Okay, for those of you that are listening at home, doesn't that look so much better?
Looks much better through the audio, definitely.
I was about to say, Jeff, if you want, we can restart it since we're not live.
Yeah, we can. We can. All right, we'll restart it. All right. So here's my little trick that I do when I'm recording my own videos so that I have a visual for where an edit needs to go. Edit point.
Underpants.
Underpants. All right, here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and here we are. It's time for another show, and I get to hang out with really cool people. And of those cool people, one of them is looking around to see if they are the only one, and that would be Ben. Ben, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Just happy to be here on another Thursday.
Yeah, it's not just another Thursday because we're all here together. So it's a special Thursday. Like every other Thursday that we spend together.
Yes.
Yeah.
So pretty much every day that is not Thanksgiving.
Right. Although for our friends in Canada, happy Thanksgiving to you, which was, it was earlier this week.
It was Monday. Well, the holiday would have been Monday.
The holiday would have been Monday. Here it is Thursday. Hey, yeah. At least I remembered that it happened.
Yes. Yeah. And bravo to Canada for actually having Thanksgiving during the fall when the leaves are changing colors instead of the end of November when we're knee deep in snow.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're smarter than we are here in the United States.
It depends where you are. For us, the timing is almost perfect for the change of colors in November.
Oh, yeah. And for us, it's very plausible that you could use the snow is too deep, the roads are too treacherous to go and spend the time with family.
I have.
There you go. Yep. Yep. But see, these are the kinds of tricks we learn here in the United States. We are, after all, Canada's basement. So, yeah, totally makes sense.
Oh, we're getting that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. I just realized this is Canada's basement episode because everyone that's here is in the continental United States. Because, Ben, you are in Iowa. I am in Colorado, and Tom, you are in California.
I am.
How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Had a fun day on Sunday. I went to the Fleet Week in San Francisco. I've never been.
Mm-hmm.
It's when, you know, they bring Coast Guard and Navy ships. But mostly I went for the aircraft, the Blue Angels and a bunch of other cool planes.
I saw some of your photos on Mastodon.
Mastodon.
I had to think because there's so many services.
the most fun for me was the event was sponsored by United Airlines. And so two times during the event, they flew a 777, basically east to west from the Golden Gate Bridge over Alcatraz, over towards Oakland.
Mm-hmm. And
it sounds kind of dumb. It's not that cool to see a airliner flying. But when you see it flying very low to the ground, you know, wheels down at 400 or 500 feet with the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. That was pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Not as fun as the Blue Angels. I like the Blue Angels. And by the way, I'm wearing my South Africa rugby jersey in honor of Rugby World Cup, you know, sports ball, one of those things.
Awesome.
I was just hoping you weren't a Packers fan.
No, I'm not a Packers fan. This is the Springboks from South Africa in the World Cup. I think they're playing France, the host country. You know, I think our friends in England are rooting for the England side against, I think it's Fiji. They're playing Fiji. I think Wales and Ireland are still in it. So that part of the world is doing very well in the World Cup. So good luck to all the participants. I hope your team wins, whoever it is.
Right. Yeah. This is one place where saying go team is appropriate because you're rooting for all the teams.
Well, except maybe France. I might not root for France.
Go team, unless you're France.
Yeah.
Got it.
Just kidding. Good luck to all the participants.
Yeah. Hey, so this is the big show, and we're well past summer of fun. So that means stories. And Tom, I see you have already dropped yours into the chat. Tell us about your story.
The story is about Google's support of passkeys. And I guess Google has been supporting passkeys for a few months, 6 months maybe, something like that. Earlier this year, they announced support for that and rolled it out sort of quietly. Mm-hmm. They weren't really pushing on it. But the big thing that happened, I guess, is they're making it the default for accounts to use passkeys. And passkeys have always sort of been a mystery to me about why they're better than passwords. And so I was interested to see that Google is making them default. It seems a little early, but, you know, sometimes Google likes to push the envelope a little bit. And my big concern about passkeys is what if I lose my device? Because basically the private key is held, let's say, on my iPhone. That's where the private key is kept. And I guess it would get backed up in iCloud or something. But I'm always very paranoid that if the only way I can get into my account is through passkey and I need my phone and the Face ID to open it up, what if somebody steals my phone?
That is an absolutely legit concern. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is where the big concern about Google's implementation of passkeys is getting a lot of security people kind of freaked out. Because if you use Google for the whole passkey system, like you use their software to manage your passkeys and all that, the scenario you just described is absolutely going to happen to a lot of people, and Google doesn't have support. So if you lose your Pixel phone or Samsung flip thing or whatever phone you're using, and you're using the whole Google key authenticator system, you're screwed. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You're just straight up screwed. There's no way to recover from that.
Well, but the funny thing was, so I'm reading through this article I posted at Ars Technica, and I kept reading, trying to figure out what the solution was. And it sounds like Google will still support your password.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then my question becomes, what's the point of a passkey if the password still works? Right? Somebody can still steal my password from somewhere and get into my Google accounts, for example.
My interpretation of that, and I am totally willing to admit that I might be wrong on this, was that they're supporting passcodes if you're using them. When you switch to passkeys, it's a one-way path. And so you don't use your passcode to log into your account anymore. But the answer that I think addresses Google's deficiency in passkey support is don't use Google's own passkey tools. Use something like 1Password or some other password management tool cross-platform that supports passkeys.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, but it still comes back to the single point of failure. You know, we all remember the LastPass breach, you know, which is not a great thing. So if I was using LastPass to be my passkey manager, now I'm screwed if they get breached, maybe. I mean, I understand it's a little you know, private key, public key, all that kind of stuff, and how it's encrypted and all that. But it, I guess I'm just not seeing this humongous benefit of passkeys. If I have a good password manager and I use good, strong passwords that I, you know, handle correctly, and nobody breaches my password vault, are passkeys any better?
All right, I've been doing all the talking. Ben, if you want to jump in, I will let you. Otherwise, I will run with it.
I don't know if it's better. I think it's a lot easier. It essentially takes the biometric authentication, which basically every device in the last 10 years has had, and kind of just makes a standardized way to log in using that. And I mean, the whole single point of failure is, I mean, why I chose to use 1Password rather than the sending it up through iCloud, which is perfectly capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I don't have a Mac available or another Apple device, I can still log in to my 1Password account.
Right. Right. You know, I guess if you had, I know Patrice has talked about this, if you had a password manager, everything's encrypted and you controlled the database.
Yeah.
I mean, you could still get breached, I guess, whatever server that you put it on. I mean, that to me, I would love to be able to do that, a cross-platform password manager that in which the database of the passwords did not reside on some third-party cloud. Because I just don't think people would bother trying to hack me. You know, they're gonna hack something like 1Pass or LastPassword or LastPass, but they're not gonna hack Tom's password manager on his, you know, whatever account.
Probably not. Yeah. One of the benefits of passkeys versus passcodes is that they're being generated independent of what you are capable of creating for yourself as a password. So you get these super long strings, right, and then you have to do the public private key authentication part for all of it. So for the keys to be passed back and forth, there is a higher level of inherent security, mm-hmm, simply because if they're captured in the stream, they're useless to whoever's captured them.
Yeah. It's just an encrypted blob going across your ISP.
Right. Yeah. And it takes out part of the human factor,
yeah,
which is actually important for security, since now you don't have to rely on someone coming up with unique, truly strong passwords for every single site that they use.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I think there's maybe a benefit for ease of use to have pretty good security if you're sort of a normie who doesn't use good passwords and use a password manager. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think the idea that your password will, the passkey will never be passed in the clear like it could across a, you know, a public Wi-Fi network or something, or through your ISP when you type it in to log in. I get that. On the other hand, with normies, when something like this happens, like password managers got really popular and the benefit was pretty clear, I always think, do I want to try to get my family to use this, and how hard will it be for them to set up, and can they manage it on their own without calling me every time they log into a website? And I'm, you know, I got my wife to use a password manager, for example, and she figured it out, you know, mostly 99% of the time she can do it herself. But I'm not sure with passkeys yet. I'm not sure I want to roll it out to my family yet.
Yeah, the passkey setups that I've done so far were surprisingly simple. It was a couple button clicks and that was it. But the problem that you just described, getting family members to use password managers. Holy crap. Yes, I am with you. I've set up family members and sat there with them, handheld them, and said, look, anytime you have questions about using this tool to log in, you just call me, and I will be there to help you, because that's how important this is. And invariably, they stop using the password manager. And the logic, which doesn't work for me at least, is I don't want to take the time to have to enter the passwords.
Yep. Yep.
And I tell them, but you're entering them every single time.
Right.
So you only have to enter them one more time. Yeah, but I don't want to have to go to the trouble to do that. Okay, so you're going to enter them every single time instead of just one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
yeah,
and keep
it's
it
just
on
too much work.
And keep it on a piece of paper in your wallet or in a note file on your phone, you know.
I've taped to the back of your phone where it's so secure.
I successfully got two normies in my family to adopt LastPass. And the only trouble I had was with my brother. And I told him, for your master password, make it, you know, something that isn't your first name and birth date or something, but write it down on a piece of paper and put it in a desk at your house. And also tell me what it is, and I'll write it down on a piece of paper and put it on a desk in my house. Because if you lose this, you lose everything. There is no way to get back in if you lose this. And so sure enough, my brother, after about a month of using it, called me, says, I can't get in, blah, blah, blah. And I said, did you change your master password? Yeah, I did. Did you write it down? No, I didn't write it down. But I know it's this.
Then no, it's not that. If you can't
it's
get
not
in.
That. My wife, on the other hand, she uses LastPass, and she, you know, she's competent on a computer, but she's definitely a normie. Mm-hmm. And she uses it 99% of the time. I'd say once in a while I'll catch her writing down a password on a piece of paper as she's setting up a new account, but very rarely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, passkeys, assuming we can get everyone on board and the developers that need to create the interfaces for setting these up do their job well, it should be so much easier to have strong pass key protection everywhere. And even
it's
for
gotta,
the normies.
But it's got to
be
easy. And it's got to be everywhere.
And I think it's going to be a long time before it's everywhere. Which,
right.
And
otherwise,
until that comes, it's just really confusing for people. Why right. do I click this sometimes, but I have to type this other times?
Mm-hmm. Right. So you'll effectively, if I wanted my wife, for example, to use passkeys, even a year from now, she would have to understand that sometimes you're using LastPass and sometimes you're using passkeys. And that would just confuse the hell out of her.
I can appreciate that. Yep.
Yep. And for our future viewers here, I have entered the passkeys.directory into the chat, which is a list of websites and services that support passkey that was provided by 1Password.
Yes, this is actually a really awesome resource. And it's a community, not managed, but community supported, in that if you go to a website and it's offering passkey support, you can go and add that to passkeys.directory. And I'm assuming it needs some sort of verification, but then it gets added to the list. So this isn't dependent on like someone at 1Password having to make time to go and update this database. We all get to be part of the process.
Cool. So, you know, if the whole world, everybody uses passkeys, probably a no-brainer to use it.
Yeah.
And it'll happen, but it's not going to be a fast process.
Right.
All right. Yay, Google, I guess. Okay, Ben, tell us about your story.
This is about the artist formerly known as the Uncarrier, which is now going to be known as the Most Carrier. Yeah.
Please tell us, what has T-Mobile done to us now?
Yeah. So, a couple months back, T-Mobile introduced its, what is it called? 5G Go plans. Oh, go 5G. I had it the other way, but they really, really, really want you to move to these new plans, because if you're on one of the previous Simple Choice, Select Choice, Magenta 55, One Plan, or Simple Choice Business plans, T-Mobile, you, and that is T-Mobile US. I don't know what T-Mobile Europe's doing. T-Mobile US will automatically move you to go 5G unless you physically opt out.
That's crappy.
That's really crappy. Yeah. Especially given that, you know, it says in the article about the guarantee from a few years ago that we will never change your plan forever, basically, yeah, is what they said. And now they're changing it.
Except, thank you. Well, we won't change your plan forever, except when we do.
I mean, in all fairness, that was under John Laguerre. Apparently, Mike Severt doesn't think he has to honor anything.
Right, but as a customer of T-Mobile, I'm sorry you didn't like your previous CEO, but that's your problem, not mine.
Yeah.
This is just a crappy business move.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is they've tried to keep all this, saying they're the same company as they were under Laguerre. They're obviously not. The moves they've been making under Severt have been very AT&T Verizon-ish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this quote from the article. The leaked documents, so these would be internal T-Mobile documents that have been leaked out to the press. The leaked documents show what customer service reps are being trained to tell users. Instead of saying the price is going up, reps will say, quote, "We are not raising the price of any of our plans. We are moving you to a newer plan with more benefits at a different cost," end quote.
That just happens to be higher.
Yeah, how would you like to be a T-Mobile rep in a store having people screaming at you? That must be fun.
This is the kind of statement that if I were in a store complaining about my what they're doing to my plan and they tell me this,
I'd
want to start flipping tables.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they actually degraded the current Magenta and Simple Choice plans, and even my Magenta Plus, I think it's called Plus, but the high-end Magenta plan, just so you would have to upgrade to the new plans to have the same benefits that you did when you signed up.
Okay, that's a price increase right there.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not giving you what you paid for.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Go ahead.
Sorry, it's not clear to me in this. Is there still a way to actually opt out, or do you have to move?
Yes. No. You can physically opt out. But the thing is, 99% of people are not us.
Yeah, they're not going to be even.
Well, Ben,
you know, it'll be 6 months from now.
Yeah. Ben, if you opt out, but in your case specifically, does that mean you lose features because you're not switching plans?
Right.
It means I already have.
That is a crappy business.
And that, and like you said, you know, T-Mobile was always kind of positioning themselves in the US as the anti-AT&T, anti-Verizon. Mm-hmm. And people always said, I got sick of AT&T, I got sick of Verizon, I'm on T-Mobile now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I switched to Mint Mobile last year and from AT&T, and I've been so happy with the move. However, I'm really worried that T-Mobile will now start screwing with Mint Mobile since they're buying them. Or has the purchase been completed yet?
They will. I'm not sure if it's gone through yet, but of course they will. It might take them a couple of years, but they're going to roll you right into the same plans as everybody else, you know?
Yeah, and I will say that I just recently moved. I am currently on Mint Mobile. My parents are still on T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been other things, like, I don't know if this is particularly related, but instead of having zero down, we suddenly had to pay most of the money of the phone down to upgrade.
And and that was on T-Mobile or Mint Mobile?
On T-Mobile.
Okay.
On T. Well, I mean, on Mint Mobile, you're paying 100% of the phone.
That's true. Yep. Yeah. Good point. Yep.
I guess the moral of the story is when a company tells you, we're never going to change your plan, we'll never charge you more, you just can't believe them. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't believe it, to be honest, but.
Well, I mean, what they mean is we'll never charge you more for that specific named plan.
Which we may kill. Or yeah, change.
Or make it so. So hard to use it that you are forced to move to a different plan.
Right. I had kind of a similar thing happen when I got my first iPhone. I was on AT&T and I had an unlimited data plan.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, you know, that I think the CEO ultimately said that was the worst decision he ever made, was giving people unlimited data plans because it just killed their network. And I kept that for a long time, and AT&T, I'd always be grandfathered in. Nobody else could get it. When I killed that plan, nobody else could get it, but they still let me have it. But all they did was kept raising the price to ridiculous levels.
And, so I and could still lowering get your speed.
Right, lowering my speed, but I could still get unlimited data.
Yeah, back when I was on AT&T, well, I got the original iPhone and switched from T-Mobile to AT&T because that's what you had to do. And and then when they stopped offering the unlimited plans, I held on to that for a while. But then ultimately, to have features that I wanted, I had to give up the unlimited plan because I couldn't do it. It was basically like, you can use it as a phone, you can get text messages, and you can have an unlimited data, or you can have all the other stuff that you really want. And ultimately, I was like, well, you know, I need tethering. I need to be able to reliably do international. And I guess that means no more unlimited data for me. Ah, good times.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to me, the ultimate lesson here is the reminder that these companies, even though they may do things that we like, at least at times, sell us products that we may like, at least at times, and give us good customer support or whatever it is that we like about the companies, they're not our friends.
No.
Yeah.
Ever. T-Mobile is not our friend. Apple is not our friend. Microsoft, none of these companies are our friends.
Verizon is definitely not our friend.
No, and they like letting you know they're not your friend. Yeah. All right. Well, since there's just three of us, this is one of the rare days where I'm dropping in a story.
Yay.
And while everyone might be thinking, oh, underpants, sex toys, or Lego. No, this is actually a highbrow thing. This is NASA, the OSIRIS-REx team. The samples that they've been pulling off of the return canister from the Bennu asteroid. They're finding carbon, they're finding water, that they have found the building blocks of life just in the material that was on the outside of the canister, because they had so much material that initially there was trouble closing the container when it was at the asteroid. So like the whole outside was covered, and just the work they've been doing with that before opening the canister, they've been finding really interesting things. So there you go.
That's basically from the dirt on the outside. It's really, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have they actually opened up the canister yet?
I thought that was supposed to happen this week and they were doing a live opening. But I have been busy enough that I haven't been able to stay on top of that.
They were doing a live reveal, huh? Unboxing.
Yeah, they're going to do a live unboxing. And while while live unboxings might be kind of passe now, this is one case where, no, it will actually be really cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, it, like you said, it's really cool that they found carbon. It was carbon and water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which also goes a little way towards the theory that the way water came to be on Earth in such quantities is that we got hit by a whole lot of asteroids and comets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this sample already is the most carbon-rich asteroid sample or meteor sample. Yeah, I guess this is an asteroid. So asteroid sample that we've been able to get a hold of. Granted, there aren't that many that we've been able to get. Because what there's the sample that Japan got.
Oh, right. The one they caught the parachute. Yeah, I remember that one.
And is there another one? I'm trying to remember.
I only remember the one from Japan. I'm not sure about others. But
okay,
can you imagine being a scientist on this project and all you've done is look at the dirt on the outside and you're already over the moon about it?
Yeah. That's pretty exciting. This is a win even without opening the canister.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're thinking that they have almost 9 ounces of material in the canister. And what they were shooting for, their best case scenario was like 2 ounces. Wow. And so they way overshot their expectations with material collected, which is great because that means now there's more to work with and analyze over time.
Yeah, that's a lot of material, actually.
Yeah. And the spacecraft is off to another asteroid now, although it won't be collecting samples from anything else.
So but it's got
taking readings.
Right. It's got sensors and stuff so it can return data, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Ben, you are right. Talk about slow reaction for me. Holy crap. Ben, you are right. Yes. Just from the outside of the canister, they have a lot more data to back up the notion or the hypothesis that the building blocks of life and a lot of our water, if not most of it, came from debris, asteroids, comets, meteors. Anyhow, very cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. All right. You know what else is cool?
The ESO host.
Yes, Ben. You're so smart. I knew you'd figure that one out. Yes, TSO hosts. And they're actually pretty awesome because they're a web hosting company that does their job so well. They are super reliable. And they provide solid web hosting service. They help people buy domain names. They do all the stuff that you need if you're going to have a website. And what they're doing, which is incredibly generous, is they're taking those things they do so well and giving that to us at the British Tech Network. They're giving us the hosting space we need for our website. They're giving us that server space we need to hold the show recording so that you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. They're giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows, which is absolutely fantastic, because the resources it takes to do all of these things, these are not things that we could do without their incredibly generous support. And that is not hyperbole. That's just the way it is. They're being incredibly generous, giving back to the community and helping us be here so that we can be here for all of you. And we really, really appreciate what they're doing. So what you can do to show your appreciation is go out on your favorite social medias and thank TSO hosts for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do, only takes a minute, and they will appreciate knowing that all of us here, that we all appreciate that they're here supporting us and being part of the community. So so thank you, TSO hosts, for doing that. It actually gets better, though, which is hard to believe, because the generosity they're showing us is like over the top and wonderful. Let's say you want to buy domain names. Use TSO Host for that, because they make it super easy to buy your domain names and get that domain name added into your cart. And if you want to have a website to go along with that, throw your hosting package into your cart. Add the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off that order. So they're being incredibly generous there too by giving a really sweet discount to all of you just for being part of the BTN family. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And speaking of being here, Patrice is not. And since Patrice is not here, this is the part where I'm going to pretend like I know how to talk about the live chat. So here's the deal. Today's live chat is really a collection of links for all the things we're talking about on the show today, mm-hmm. because we're having a technical issue not related to TSO hosts that's preventing the audio going out on the live stream. And once we sort that out, we'll start the live stream up again. Since there's no live stream, why would people be in the chat? Because they'd have no idea what we're talking about. Anyhow, so this is where all the links are for everything we're talking about. When we have all of our poop in a group and have everything working correctly on our end, then this is where all of you would be talking about what we're talking about and interacting with us in real time during the show. With all of that disclaimer out of the way, how do you find this live chat so that you can participate and see all the links and everything? And for that, you go to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. Oh my God, I got it.
Nope.
No, that's not the right. That's for the live chatting.
That's the live chat.
Oh, yeah, but that's where you go if you want a live chat, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. Live chat. That's right, for live chat.
That's what I thought I was talking about.
Oh.
But the fact that you're confused, that tells a lot about how I'm explaining this. I appreciate Patrice for so many things, and this is one of them. A big one, because she's so good at just going through all this. Anyhow, if you want to participate live, you go to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And okay.
And dash and slash chat if you want to see the archives.
So that would be britishtechnetwork.com/chat.
Yes.
For the archives. Okay. So when you're chatting with us live, it's chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And if you want to see what we've talked about and all the links after a show has already been recorded, then it's britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Is that
you
right?
You got it.
Oh, holy crap, people. All right. Okay. So now I have to try and describe what happens when you go to the slash chat link. Okay. So you see this really cool calendar thing that Patrice made. Click on the day for the show. Hold on. I think I might have a link up. Oh, I do. See, it's so pretty. I love that. Okay. Click on the day for the show. So today that would be Thursday, October 12th, 2023. Is this not the 12th?
This is the 12th.
Okay. But so you would click on today's date, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, great. And man, it does take a village, especially when it's being run by the idiot. Holy crap. All right. So click on the date. Today's date is October 12th, 2023. Do I even have the year right?
Sure. I think you got that right.
Okay. And then you can select today's chat and you'll see all the stuff in there. And holy crap, did I do it? Did I get us through that?
Yep.
Oh my Eventually God. you got there, Jeff. Good job.
Yep. You can see, and when you go there, you can see all the links to the stuff we talk about, plus the collection of links.
Yes. The collection of links. And I see what you did there. So to get Ben's joke, you actually do have to go and look at today's chat. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So holy forking shirt balls. We got through that. All right. Now that means it's time for cool things. And hold on. Both of you have been dropping stuff in here, right? So Ben, you actually have a cool thing in the chat yes. right now.
Yep.
All right, tell us about your cool thing.
Not only do I have a cool thing, it's at an insanely cool price.
Half off.
Yeah, well, pretty much. But
yeah, I mean 49%. That's close enough to half off when we're talking
about. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Please yep.
so,
tell us.
This year, Beats by Dre, or in this case, Beats by Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Released the new Beats Studio Pro headphones, their next generation wireless Beats with USB-C, replacing the very, very terrible lightning connector that they had, lightning to 3.5 millimeter, that they had on the old Solo Pro and the AirPods Max. God, that was a terrible cable.
So Ben, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm totally interrupting. That lightning to 3.5 millimeter, for those of you that don't know, lightning, you know, Apple's now nearly deprecated connector from the iPhone. 3.5 millimeter, that's the like a standard headphone jack.
Yeah.
Okay. So was that just for audio, or was that how you charged it, or
how did that work? You charged it via lightning, and they had a special bi-directional cable that was only available in one super short length that Apple would not make anybody else, or would not let anybody else make.
Super short length, expensive. What do you have to do? Like plug your headphones in. And then if you're listening, say on your computer, now just kind of lay your head on the desk so that it's close enough. Or hold your laptop up like this, like a boom box.
Yeah. In fact, I actually early in the year ended up, getting a pinched nerve because of that darn cable.
That is so stupid.
Because you're leaning over like this all day long.
Yeah. So this uses a standard USB-C cable. It supports wired lossless audio because it has a built-in DAC. So you can use the USB-C cable, not just for charging, but for simultaneous lossless audio.
That's really nice. Okay. Here's a question I have, which I don't know if you would know the answer to this or even if it's something they're talking about. Built-in DAC, you run a USB-C cable into that. You have an external DAC. Will it bypass the internal DAC for a higher quality external DAC?
That I do not know. And I think it also has 3.5 millimeter though.
Oh, so if you have you could do external DAC to 3.5 millimeter. That would probably be the answer.
That would be the way to do it.
Yep. Yep. What other things does this have? Number one, if you are on an iOS device or other Apple system, it works fully with Apple's iCloud connection, you know, that type of thing.
So these headphones will jump from device to device like AirPods do.
Yep, like any AirPods, because even though it's technically Beats silicon, it's still Apple silicon.
Right.
Yeah, but if you have an Android phone, the special Beats chip also supports Google's equivalent of that.
Okay.
So these will automatically connect quickly to any of your devices.
That's very cool.
Is that the same for the in-ear ones?
Yes, for the new Studio Plus. They have the same chip. Yep.
So if you get the Studio Plus Buds, you have the same functionality as the Studio Pro.
Yes.
From that perspective. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So basically, you have two ports in this thing that can be used. I mean, it can be pretty much used with any device, any standard charging cable. They don't have near the sound quality as the AirPods Max, but these are by far the best mid-range headphones Apple/Beats have ever made. So let's get around to that price. Normally, these are $349.99, which is honestly a fair deal for what you get. They're $50 more expensive than the Beats Solo Pro that they replace, but they also have better features. So right now, if you go to Amazon, you can get them for 49% off, $179.95.
Any idea why they're offering these discounts all of a sudden?
I don't know. I just wish I had the cash to take them up on their offer. I want these.
We're seeing a lot of really good deals like this popping up. If you're in the market for headphones that work seamlessly in the Apple environment and work great in the Android environment too, and you don't want to pay for AirPods Max, and especially at the 49% discount, holy crap.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And they're not the only Beats that are on sale. The Beats Flex are $49.90 or $49, which is $20 off. The Power Beats Pro are $100 off. The Beats Studio Buds non-plus are going for $90 instead of $150. And the Beats Fit Pro, which I am currently using, are $40 off. So there is some very un-Apple-like deals when it comes to Beats right now.
Very cool.
I mean, usually you see this stuff when you're getting close to a refresh, or you know, it's a push for market share gain. It would be interesting to know what the reasoning is behind all this discounting.
Well, I can guarantee that the Studio Pros are not up for a refresh since it came out.
Yeah,
you know, here's how busy I've been the last few days. I totally forgot that Amazon did their fall Prime Day thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And there were there were deals that, like, really good deals happening in the days ahead of the Prime Days thing. And it wouldn't surprise me if those are carrying through after. So you get the Prime Days, but it's like this big window where a lot of that stuff has really good pricing. So maybe it's related to that.
Yeah, maybe, you know, Beats and Apple are reacting to other competitors going through a bunch of Prime Day deals, right?
Could be. All right. Awesome. Okay, so great deal on Beats. Tom, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay. My cool thing is from Adobe. When was the last time somebody picked a cool thing from Adobe?
It was probably back when I picked. Do you remember when Adobe made that really cool stylus?
Oh yeah, right.
No.
Yeah. Oh,
I do remember that.
It was a great. I mean, it's really cool. So it's before Apple Pencil. I'm sorry, Tom. I'm totally hijacking for a minute. Before Apple Pencil came out. Back when everyone was coming up with really interesting styluses for the iPad, Adobe came up with this stylus that gave you basically all the features of an Apple Pencil. And then it also worked with these accessories that it came with. So it was sort of like you had this little, I don't know. It looked like almost like the original iPod Shuffle that you could lay on your screen. And then depending on how you're using it, it would be like a ruler or a compass or a protractor. And it was a fracking cool stylus. Anyhow, I'm pretty sure that was the last time anyone on BTN picked something from Adobe as a cool thing. So it's been a long time.
All right, so I guess it's time to get Adobe back on the cool things list. What I'm picking is actually a feature, which is Adobe has introduced a lot of what they call AI features into Lightroom and Photoshop. I primarily use Lightroom. It's probably the only thing I use the Adobe products for. I use it for all my photo stuff. And I had a photo, it was a family thing, and there were some people sitting in the couch, but there were people that I wasn't trying to take a picture of standing in the background and talking, and I couldn't crop them out just because of where they were physically. And then this thing popped up about context aware fill. I'm like, oh, that must be one of those AI things. So I tried it, and you basically use the lasso tool and identify an area, and you click a button, and in 10-15 seconds it basically replaces what you circled and it fills it in based on the context around the image to sort of fill it in. And it worked really, really well, and it was, you know, click, 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 and it worked. And then so I tried it on a bunch of other things, and it works pretty well. It depends, you know, how complicated the stuff is that it has to recreate and try to fill in intelligently so it looks like it's actually part of the scene. And then I was checking into the Slack room and noticed that Ewan had used it, and he posted it in the photo channel in the BTN Slack if you're interested. And he basically did the same thing. I'm not sure if he was using Lightroom or Photoshop, but he took an image and he basically removed an object in the background. It was kind of along a fence line, and context aware fill filled it in pretty well. So I'm thinking, man, this is great, you know, for the photos where I have, you know, photo bomb of something that I want to get rid of, or usually stuff in the background, I can use this. And then I think it was Dodsey in the Slack room said, this is also very dangerous. You know, if you were nefarious, these things are so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, how can you trust images? And I think his suggestion was, you know, to put stuff in the EXIF, you know, the metadata, to make people aware that this image was modified. And I agree, or even I'd even go for a watermark, because in the hands of the wrong people, You know, they've always had tools to manipulate photos, but this is so damn easy. Everybody's going to use it.
I remember when Content Aware Fill was first a thing, and it seemed like wizardry. And it has progressed so much over the years.
It's a lot better.
Yeah, like what it does now compared to what it does when I was using Photoshop all the time. It is light years apart. But I do remember at one point Adobe started doing this thing where you can have a full audit trail of an image built into the metadata. And it's a thing that you can choose to do. So like if you are doing image editing, maybe it's going to be something that's used professionally somewhere, you can ensure the integrity of your image by including that metadata, just like you were saying, it should be there. And then anyone can go and look and see exactly what manipulations were done to the image before the final version was put out. Doesn't mean they can actually see what the original image looked like, although maybe in some cases they can, but depending on how you set it all up, but they can at least see that laundry list of everything that you did to the image, just like a written out list.
Yeah, I'm just I was kind of disappointed. I was so excited about how well it's working out, because I tried, you know, all the different tools they had before, and you know, they were okay. They didn't work that well. If you're really good at it, I suppose you could do it better than maybe I could do. But it's so easy. And then, you know, when I saw Dotsie's comment, I'm like, oh God, you're right. This could really get bad. In the wrong hands.
Oh, absolutely. But in the right hands, this is so cool. It's Content Aware Fill is one of those things that when it was announced, I was immediately super excited, because it's just so useful. All right. So I guess it means it's time for my cool thing. And here's the deal. I was so ready to go with Lego today, but I'm not. And here's the reason. The reason is because it turns out, I guess like way back in spring or something, I pre-ordered something off Amazon and then completely forgot about it. And it showed up yesterday. Or 2 days ago as we record, I guess. Anyhow, it showed up a couple days ago. And I was absolutely surprised, because I had, like I said, completely forgotten about this. So here's the deal. Bill Watterson, he's the guy that did Calvin and Hobbes.
Right.
He's an incredible artist and obviously a great storyteller. So he partnered up with this other guy who's also an illustrator, and they created what they're calling a fairy tale for adults. I think that's what they're calling it. It's called The Mysteries. And it's this hardback book that just came out. And how about if I hit return so the link actually shows up for everyone? There we go. Holy crap.
That'd be too easy. Jeff, that's the asteroid.
What the? Oh, guess what? The batteries on my external keyboard died. While we're recording.
That's helpful.
All right, let's try this. Okay, I got to move that keyboard. There we go. Let's try this with the correct one. Anyhow, so here's this book. It showed up. And just opening up a random page. Just beautiful art in this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they're calling it A Fable for Grownups. And the premise is that there's this old kingdom and bad things are happening. And so the king sends out his knights to figure out what the mystery is. And then years after all these knights have departed to go and try and deal with this, only one comes back. And just the book is absolutely beautiful. And did I show you the cover yet?
Let's see.
I mean, even just the cover is
really nice. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. So
I was a huge Calvin and Hobbes fan.
As am I. And if you read this, of course, you're not reading Calvin and Hobbes.
Right.
But you're reading something from someone that not only has, but is the person with the caliber to create Calvin and Hobbes.
Mm. And it's not horribly expensive.
No, it's like $18 for this book.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's I have flipped through it a little bit. I've been busy taking care of other stuff and just haven't had time to like really sit and read it. But the joy I have gotten just from flipping through it, it's already worth the $18 that I spent. Mm. And having it show up just out of the blue as a surprise was awesome as well. I double checked to make sure that it was really me that pre-ordered it, not someone else thinking Jeff would love this and send it to me. It's in my order history, like way back in spring.
So the funny thing on Amazon, the Amazon page for this, it says $17.99 hardcover, 20 used from $18.80, 30 new from $13.99.
Yeah, what's up with that? Because it's been available for literally 2 days.
Right. And I think it's Amazon manipulation, probably, you know, sellers doing all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, and it's like other booksellers selling through Amazon.
Yeah.
With weird delivery dates.
Right. It's kind of sketchy.
Yeah. All right. So
like people are, it's like they're shorting the book.
Yeah. All right.
They're going to send it to you in 3 months.
You're right. All right. Here's my advice. If you're going to buy this from Amazon, buy it from Amazon and not from one of the other newer used, because that's really sketch right now. Otherwise, go to your local bookstores and buy it from them.
Yeah. In fact, just buy it from the local bookstore.
Yeah.
That looks like a great book, though.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I'm excited to sit down and like really just dive into it and enjoy it. And my guess is, I mean, you know, this isn't very thick and there's only a few words on each page and there's drawings all the way through. So I expect just taking my time to really, really soak in each page. I'll be through the whole thing in half an hour. If I were to just read it, it'd probably take me like what, 5 or 10 minutes just to read through. But yeah, so it won't be a huge time commitment, although I have a feeling I'll spend a lot of time coming back to this just because it's so beautiful. All right, so Ben, sorry, not Lego today. But maybe tomorrow we will see. I mean, yeah. It's not like I couldn't do Lego tomorrow because there are so many great options out there. Yeah. All right. So with that, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me on your social media of choice at Ben Rathig, on my website, Rathig.tech, every Tuesday night on Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner, usually on Thursdays with Mr. Dave Ginsburg on In Touch with iOS, which is actually being done on Friday this week.
Oh, right.
And yep, and every Thursday and Friday here on the Big and Mac shows.
That's which right. Always Ben's makes favorite me hungry. Lunch series.
Yes. And I don't even like McDonald's.
I don't think there's anything I can really eat there. because everything either has beef or dairy in it. Yeah, so you're thinking about it and you're like, well, what about the, oh, wait, no.
There's nothing there for you. No, there's nothing there for you.
Yeah, I can get a nice tea there.
Maybe.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Exactly. Why? Anyhow, yeah. Tom, now that we're done discussing
Big Macs,
bad American fast food, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon at TomF@sfba.social.
It's just so easy.
It is. That's it. That's the only place you can find me.
All right. Well, then we'll switch from easy to seriously. You have to rattle off all that stuff. All right, here we go. Social media, Jay Gamet, Mastodon and Instagram. I will get caught up today on Inktober because I haven't had a chance to do yesterday's, so I need to do that, and then I'll do today's drawing. All right, then shows. Most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner Show. Then most Thursdays, although this week it's on Friday, the, In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsberg Show. Then here on Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays here for the Mac Show, and then Brian Chaffin and I record The Context Machine, and occasionally I show up on other people's shows as well. So with that, thank you to both of you for being here today. And putting a smile on my face, because really what it's all about is entertaining me, and well done. So let's see. I've thanked you because that's important. So how about I thank everyone that watches or listens live. Thank you for being part of the show. Everyone that participates in the chat, thank you for being part of that. Everyone who watches or listens to the recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for the shows. Tioso host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Hey, everyone, if you are not already listening to the Daily News Show every day, it's time to start because it's really good. And then you're going to love it so much that you need to throw some money towards it too. So please do that. And let's see what else. With that, I think it's okay to say, be sure to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. And then come back again next Thursday for the Big Show and next Friday for the Mac Show. And hopefully we will have sorted out the whatever weird tech issue we're having on this end so that the audio is working for the live stream again. And you can mock us in real time instead of having to wait and mock us just in a recording. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have an awesome weekend. We'll see you tomorrow and next week.